Welcome back. This is Radio Entrepreneurs. My name is Jeffrey Davis. I'm the host of the show, also chairman of the board of Mage LLC. As I've been saying every segment this week, I want to thank our friends over at Gray, Gray & Gray for their support of Radio Entrepreneurs and in entrepreneurs in general. And my guest host for this segment, obviously from Gray, Gray & Gray, is Rich Hershen. And hi, Rich.
Jeffrey, how are you?
Thank you.
Well, it's a double today.
I know.
Two Gray, Gray & Gray people. You didn't know what the intro is going to be.
I was just thinking you were intimidated by me, so you brought Kelly Berardi, the heavyweight.
Yeah, well, it is more comforting to have Kelly here.
I know that if I upset you, Kelly's going to jump. Belly's going to protect you.
That's
better
right,
than
I
you will.
Or she might just jump in with you.
Yeah. And you know, our next guest is a serial guest of ours and a good friend of Mage, is my consulting firm. I am so impressed with this company. I knew this guy before he was at this company. He is one of those people you meet as an entrepreneur that you know he's going to get where he wants to go, and he's doing it. It's Nick Sideri from
Jillian's
Foods. Sorry, I get all tied up every once in a while. And if you look on our YouTube channel, you will see all these wonderful gluten-free products, the pastas, the breads, the whoopie pies, the red velvet cakes. You got it all.
The red velvet cakes, I tried one of those a little while ago. They were delicious.
I can't believe you eat that stuff.
I love that stuff.
I mean, because you
I'm
like,
probably going to take that whole dozen home.
I mean, it's always such a big deal getting you out of the mirror to get you on these segments. I mean, you're eating sugar.
Tastes good.
Thank you for having me.
He's blushing. Welcome back, Nick.
Thank you.
I know a lot's going on at Jillian's, so why don't you give us a little update from the last interview?
Sure. So since the last time we were here, we were planning a move from our Lynn facility. We moved to our new facility in Salem, Mass, over at Pickering Wharf in Shetland Park. It was a big move. We doubled in space. We doubled in storage, production, and dry, staff as well. We moved our whole location, which we had just kind of rented and moved to the next location in the area and expanded that way. We just moved and built our own complex. So this is our first building that we've had, or piece of business that we've had that we have designed ourselves. And we introduced a couple new products as well in the last year or so. We did some new whoopie pies containers with brownies. These are a lot larger. We made them smaller and more retail driven. We actually got into Cumberland Farms, which is our newest piece of business that we had got. We had the desserts in there. That's 700 to 800 store convenience store chain that didn't have any gluten-free options outside of just the regular naturally gluten-free. So they've been doing very well. We sold about 65,000 of them in the first month. So it's been a very good ride with them. We also did it over our entire bread line. We launched some new bread, some Vienna loaf, did some new burger buns, and we just been kind of just settling into the new facility and just looking at the future and as far as, you know, growth and what to take on. And now we have the capacity, so now we have the ability to do what we couldn't do a little while ago, and it's very exciting for the future.
So speaking of the future and looking at the company, where do you see the company going? What's going to happen in the next couple of years?
Well, I obviously the gluten-free industry itself is more than just a trend. There's a fad and people want to and try to have gluten-free diets to stay healthy and for other reasons, but it's also a medical necessity, and it's also there as a solution to a growing number of medical problems. So just giving them the options and the businesses. So we have 30 different products. So now what do you do with these? Now we have the capacity. I see us going, we already are national, but taking on bigger accounts or accounts that we're already in to offer them. Now we have the ability to do a different type of product for you. You're doing a breakfast item with us, let's do a lunch or a dinner or a dessert. So I see us expanding at least hopefully in the next 5 years to double the size and where we are now again. And we have that capacity at our current plant. And
What are the obstacles? You know, you're in a great category.
Yep.
And I know a lot of people who have been truly saved by gluten-free products.
Yep.
What are the main obstacles that you feel as the person running the company that you have moving forward?
The obstacles that we have every day is you hear the word gluten-free, and then people either they think that they've had a bad experience with it, or the food wasn't that good, or here's another company that is trying to do gluten-free because they are required to or want to hop on that kind of trend that's going forward. But my biggest obstacle is letting people know about our history of the company and saying that we were here long before the word gluten-free was even out trending around on any menus, and we are a pioneer of this company.
Well, that's because your wife needs
that
to have
three
products, right?
That's a, that's a really nice story, certainly an entrepreneurial story, right? Your father-in-law started the company, so tell us why he started it.
Yeah, so my father-in-law, Bob Atolo, he started the company 20 years ago after his daughter, Jillian, at the time was diagnosed after endless testing that she did have celiac disease. So she was at Boston Children's. My father-in-law, he was an executive chef at the time, working on second job at the airlines. He was cooking her food and stuff to bring to these long testing testing things that she was at Boston Children's. And there was a couple other girls and boys that they actually started the celiac support group for at Boston Children's. And so the parents started buying the food that Bob was making for Jill, and then, you know, it just started going from the hospital to the distributors, and it's been kind of a whirlwind ride. You know, we started out of the basement of the house, converting it over into a bakery, and then, you know, moving to two different places in Lynn, and then moving to where we are in Salem. So it's a
and your wife
story.
Still does product development.
Yeah, she
for
does.
You, doesn't
yeah,
she?
That's why we so we got into this business for the right reasons, for a reason out of necessity, not to. We didn't do this, or Bob didn't do this, to make money at the beginning. Obviously, he saw that what he was doing and how the families and people reacted to what he was making. It's kind of like you gave him a solution to life, if you would, on a big spectrum of things. But people, that's why we have so many products. People say every day to us, I've never had a brownie before that's gluten-free. I've never had a whoopie pie that's gluten-free. So that's why we keep the stuff. And that's why, you know, there's children out there every day that... endless emails that we get. Oh, now I have toast with breakfast. It changes their life. It literally changes their life.
Well, it saves their life.
And saves it at the same time, yeah. And if you could put out a good product where a family would all want to eat together and or a restaurant would want to serve and streamline, you know, not your average Joe's, a great supporter of us for many years. They put our onion roll that we have on all of their rolls as they give. That's the roll that they give at the restaurant. We've had tremendous success with them with that. And, you know, a lot of local chains, a lot of local companies, they all, you know, support us as we give them a good product. It is made in our facility. We do control it. And, you know, so it's just been
just trying the rolls.
Yeah.
A little play-by-play. Yeah, Jeff just grabbed in and started digging right into the rolls. He has a smile.
So how did you choose Salem over Lynn? I know that your father-in-law is from Revere.
Yeah.
So that must have been quite the move.
Yeah, he was from Revere. And, we looked around. We looked in Chelsea. We looked in Boston, a bunch of different places. But, you know, he enjoys the water, boating. He always has, you know, he has a boat, and that's how he enjoys to spend his time, too, us as a family as well. And when we went to Salem, I mean, if anybody who's familiar with Salem, right on the water in Pickering
Wharf.
It's just you look at the sunset coming out. We went there one day when the sunset was coming up. You're literally right on the water, overlooking all the harbor and stuff, and it just felt right, you know. It's close. It's just a centrally located place.
It's a family business,
too.
And I've met the whole family. I met dad, mom, wife, brother-in-law. They all work in the business at some level.
You can have a
reality. I didn't think your mother-in-law
show.
Worked in the business until she showed up for a meeting.
Yeah, she's
yeah,
the
and then I realized she's who the real chief was.
She's the boss. Yeah.
And it seems to work, right?
Yeah, it does. It does. The number one thing is passion. So the people that are making the decisions are family. So that's that one thing that. For me, being and worked in other companies that's not family-based, you always have that level of, you know, uncertainty in the other person. Where's their decisions coming from? So these decisions and the decisions that are made for the company, it's all made with, like, that's one thing I do not need to worry about is trust.
Well,
and
you're an
effort.
Entrepreneur, and I'll say I don't want to point my finger at anybody because names aren't important. I met you at another food company.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And you had a senior role in that food company.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And that food company struggled.
Mm-hmm.
It struggled financially. It struggled in a lot of ways.
Yes.
And this company is not struggling.
No.
What do you think the difference is? What are the things you learned before that makes this company successful from the last one? Because the last one had a good concept, too.
It had a good concept. And again, it goes back to those decisions and making the decisions and the people running the business. If the people run the business, make the decisions like it's their own business, and you choose and really do look at every decision you make as how is this going to affect us. And that's what we try to do to our employees too. You want reviews and raises, and your decisions, you know, they hold that into place. So everybody just really the pride, and I think that your actual core belief. I mean, we are doing this to make a good product to give people at a good price from a local company. We're not in there to just, you know, cut the lowest bottom price, cut everybody else out, and we don't take on anything else that we can't do. That's why I think there was a little bit of trouble at the last place. Was just we would take on, you want. But here, you know, if they don't meet our model of business, or if there's not a kind of synergy there, we it's okay to decline a piece of business, or it's okay to not get everything. We want to take our product and put it where it should be. So I think just the decision making in the group of your core employees are a big solution to that.
So how did you make the decision to leave your job and come work for the family business?
Well, the family business, again, I saw it over the last, I've been married for, let me look at my ring here. I think I've been married, no, I'm joking, six, 7 years at that time. So
I met Jillian, yeah, you don't want to joke about that.
I put it in my ring, and that's why. They were growing, you know, they're growing, and there was an opening as a need, and I saw a lot, I saw tremendous potential. I saw a business that could be taken to the next level. I saw a product that's better than anything else on the market, that has an unbelievable story and a great, you know, footing and a great local following and the whole nine yards. The thing, it was basically just the foundation that Bob created. I mean, he worked his you-know-what off for 20-plus years. We've been open in business since 1996, so he's been doing this for 20 years.
Before gluten was fashionable.
Yeah, for 20 years he has, you know. I remember him telling me he used to go into the Chinatown to get the tapioca starch that I buy in big bags. Used to go all the way in there to get a brick. They used to come in packed bricks in Chinatown before it was even available to get. So I mean, I just saw an opportunity in a niche in a growing industry, and the potential was endless. So, you know, and that's basically the foundation for any good company. It had all those core components.
So before you go,
yep.
Every time I see you, there's more products on the table.
Yep. Yep.
Give me a sense of what other products we may be seeing in the future.
A lot of the products come out of a need or a client. Obviously, if someone has a large need for a large base or is a big client and they ask for something, we can make it for them, and we then open it up and available to the rest of our customers. But, you know, we just try to look at what is full circle. So we breakfast, lunch, dinner, desserts. We're starting to work on, you know, the breakfast side of things. We offer an English muffin, but we started to do coffee cakes. We're playing with coffee cakes and muffins, blueberry muffins, stuff like that that we see on the market that it really isn't there. There is a big gap for that, and we could fill that. So I believe the breakfast desserts and stuff like that are going to be huge.
That's good. If somebody wants to find you, how would they find the company? And you're also selling, I hate to say, I'm going to interrupt myself.
Yeah, no problem.
You're also selling internationally now.
Yeah, we do. We sell to any distributor that needs our products. We're open to working with them. We do stuff with cruise lines and ships like that. You know, we're open to doing business anywhere that we could help out, you know. So if anybody would like to find us, they can go on jillianfoods.com, and that's with a G. It's just spelled like Jillian's with a G. And they could call the office, too. Number is 781-586-0086, and, you know, ask for Jill, and we also do mail order, too, so if somebody's wondering where they can get our product and it's not near a store, we do ship directly to the customer, too, so, you know, we don't make any money off the shipping, we just try to open that up, too, to make sure that everybody can get the product, no matter where they are.
Well, Nick, thanks for making trip down to Canton from Salem.
Pleasure.
We appreciate it. And
no problem.
Visiting the offices of Gray, Gray, and Gray.
Yes, it is. Yes.
And I want to thank both Kelly Berardi and Rich Hershen, who hosting
thank
us
you,
today.
Kelly. Thank you, Rich.
We're
going to
meet you.
Thank
fun.
You.
We're going to take a break, and I don't know how that cupcake got over there with Taz so fast.
You know, I've never seen him take that.
I've never seen him. Yeah, I never saw.
I was supposed to hide those in my office.
We're going to take a break. We'll be right back after these messages on Radio Entrepreneurs.